This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Yes, we've got another chance for you to win $400 to Santa Fe Audio. We'll have that for you coming up in just a little bit. Carrington Harrison here. Our guy Brandon Kiley here on the ones and twos. And to my right, once again, donning the cap of the Mill Valley Jaguars, the one, the only Brad Fanning. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Yeah, looking forward to getting somebody another code word to Santa Fe Auto Sound here coming up in just a minute.
Coming up in today's show, well, in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by our guy Jay Binkley. A lot of things happening right now in the world of the NFL. Kyler Murray's decided to focus on the NFL. Antonio Brown has now officially asked for a trade, and many of you are fired up about linebacker coaches, defensive line coaches for the Kansas City Chiefs, and there's only one person qualified to talk about that works here, and that is our guy Jay Binkley. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Ochai Agbaji is the best story in Kansas City. I would rank it whatever Patrick Mahomes is doing, and then I would say Ochai Agbaji is the second best story in Kansas City. We'll talk a lot about that. Today is the 19-year anniversary of Vince Carter's dunk contest. We'll talk about that. We got some player props. We got some unpopular opinions. We got some news stories. We got a lot of stuff to get into in today's show. But where we got to start is giving you a chance to win a prize.
That's right. We're doing something really cool here this week, courtesy of my guys over at Santa Fe Auto Sound. They're your home for car audio since way back in 1967. We're going to give you a code word right at 2 o'clock and again at 5 o'clock today through Thursday. Then on Friday, you'll be the fourth caller to 913-576-7610. You correctly tell us each of the four code words that we've given out this week, and you're going to win yourself a nice $400 prize package from Santa Fe Auto Sound. So you got $400 to use as you please over at Santa Fe Auto Sound. You get a remote car starter, which I have, which is amazing. You get an audio upgrade. You get whatever you want, $400 to Santa Fe Auto Sound. And today's code word is this, and I think it's fitting, C-Dot, because it's starting to look this way outside. Today's code word is spring, as in spring training. Today's code word for the $400 prize package to Santa Fe Auto Sound is spring. Again, we'll tell you this code word at 5 o'clock once again. And then on Friday, if you've got the Monday code word, the Tuesday code word, the Wednesday code word, and the Thursday code word, you call in at 210. On Friday, you got yourself $400 to Santa Fe Auto Sound.
Can I be honest and transparent with you guys for just a little bit? I know it's not that many people listening. Only 5 people listen in the 2 o'clock hour. I kind of felt like Brad Fanning for a June Royals game. I sped home yesterday. I made tacos. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I thought I was going to sit down on my couch and watch the end of Kansas in the Big 12. I tried to hold it in for the show. Why did you hustle in?
It was an 8 o'clock tip.
I was trying to go home, get food, get everything situated. So at 8 o'clock, nothing could bother me.
Yeah,
I was fired up about it yesterday. I tried to play it.
Kind of like me for Royals Twins, like May 28th.
I try to play it cool for the radio, but I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was kind of giddy yesterday. And then have you guys ever been in a situation where you're like flipping through channels, or maybe you like go to the TV guide and then you click on a certain thing like, oh man, I really want to see Pawn Stars. Mm-hmm. And then you click on the History Channel and you're like, hold on, this ain't Pawn Stars. This is Flip This House. And you're a little bit confused for a little bit. The exact same thing happened to me yesterday because I was expecting to watch Kansas TCU, but you know what I saw yesterday?
What?
Big 12 Twilight Zone. You guys are telling me it's about to happen again.
I thought you gave up on Big 12 Twilight Zone yesterday, man. We had this discussion.
It's happening again, isn't it? Be honest with me. It's happening again. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm still falling for it. I've officially got off the KU bandwagon for the Big 12. I'm living and dying with K-State. I remember having this thought to myself on Saturday, if I'll continue to be transparent with you guys. I haven't watched Missouri basketball the last two games that they've had. I've been fully invested in this Kansas State basketball season because I'm like, you know what? This is the team that can finally end the streak. I'm here for it. Instantly, when I jump on the K-State bandwagon, guys are breaking their hands. KU's going on the road and winning games. What is happening here? I thought I was tuning in to see the funeral for the Kansas Jayhawks. That's what I thought I was tuning into. Oh, they were going on the road. TCU just beat Iowa State. I'm not going to lie to you, Fanning. For about 30 minutes yesterday, I allowed myself to go down the road of what if KU plays in session one of the Big 12 tournament? I was going down that road. I was about to be giddy. The jokes I was going to get off if KU was playing in session one, I thought it was over. And then, like the Undertaker back at King of the Ring,
yeah,
KU pulls themselves up by their bootstraps, rises from the dead in yet another edition of Big 12 Twilight Zone. Fanning, tell me I'm lying here. Tell me this is not the exact same thing that has happened the last 15 years. Tell me that I didn't fall for the jig. Tell me that KU isn't about to, in, we say, oh, this is the worst one to Bill Self. This team would be a six seed if this current group of KU team had started at the beginning of the season. This KU team is a seven seed. They're going to find a way to win the Big 12 again.
It kind of looks that way, man.
It feels like it.
You know, and I was... I picked KU to win that game last night because I thought KU was going to win the game, and they did. But it didn't happen at all the way I thought it would. I thought when KU got up big, what were they up, like 9 or 10 late in the second half? I'm like, okay. KU went out of TCU. They got a hard-fought win, and then all of a sudden here comes TCU back. And they get this thing, and they get it to overtime. And KU guys start fouling out. And then all of a sudden, Devin Dotson turns into Frank Mason and Devontae Graham all in one with a little bit of Sherron Collins and bails him out. And so I'm thinking, all right, you just put off the inevitable for at least a game, right? Because that would have got KU to six losses, which means they would have had to run the table to have a legitimate shot to get at least a share of the Big 12 title. And then the news today, C-Dot, that after K-State with their big win, they're going into Texas, and Cartier Jada breaks his hand mysteriously. We don't know how it happened. I'm not going to lie to you. It does kind of feel like Big 12 Twilight Zone. I mean, you have to go back to last year. Remember when I was all over Texas Tech? I know that Texas Tech was the team that was going to end the streak.
I do remember.
I was in love with that. Oh, my, Texas Tech, look, Kansas looks vulnerable. Malik Newman's not playing well. This team is the least talented team KU's had in forever. And then Keenan Evans goes down with a knee injury, and Texas Tech loses to West Virginia, KU, and Oklahoma State. And then just like it always happens, things fall into place, and the basketball gods swoop down and help KU win the Big 12 title. I hate to admit it, but I actually kind of agree with you. That looks like where it's headed.
Are you already off the bandwagon?
No, I'm not off.
I'm just asking.
No, I'm not. No, because, and we'll get into this later.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what team you're cheering for to win the Big 12. Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little confused right now. I need a little bit of clarification.
I'm cheering for KU. I admire K-State.
Yesterday you called them my Wildcats. I just didn't know what it was.
Well, they are, because I do root for the Wildcats as well, but KU is my team. But I like the little engine that could Wildcats down in Manhattan with Bruce Weber, Bill Self's little brother that everybody picks on and makes fun of his voice. And you got a bunch of guys that nobody wanted. And now you got three seniors. And now you're having big wins. You beat KU in Manhattan. That's a team that I kind of admire. If I'm taking my KU hat off and I'm looking at it objectively, it's kind of hard not to like K-State and not to root for them a little bit. But I'm a KU fan at heart. And I got to admit, last night, I thought they had it won. I thought they had it lost. And then they pulled it out in overtime with my guy Devin Dotson, whatever the hell his name is, comes up big and ices the game late.
I'm going to put away my Missouri fan hat that I have for just a little bit and put back on my radio fan host.
Do you ever put that away?
All the time.
Okay.
Yesterday was an impressive win for KU.
Yeah, it was a great win.
A hard-fought, grind-it-out kind of win on the road that they haven't had all season. If you had got that same effort against West Virginia, we wouldn't be in this situation. Mm-hmm. If you had fought with any of this level of fight at Iowa State, you wouldn't have got ran off the court and beat by 19. The fight that we saw from KU yesterday, I was on the other side of everybody. We were talking about this earlier today. I like the fact that Dedrick Lawson got into it with Bill Self. I like the fire of it. Of a kid that I've called a type B personality and doesn't appear to have the dog in him, I don't mind you getting into it with the coach one time. He tells you to calm down, you go back in, and then you start playing better basketball after it. Ochai seems to have the dog in him. Devon Dotson has the dog in him. KJ Lawson gave you a big performance yesterday. They don't win that game without KJ Lawson and then Mitch Lightfoot. They don't win that game yesterday. Mitch Lightfoot came in and gave you some big-time energy
minutes.
Wait a minute,
you're giving Mitch Lightfoot a little bit of love today?
He was good yesterday. Okay, I mean, I ain't got no problem giving guys credit when they're good. You're giving guys credit for getting two baskets, and all of a sudden they're turning things around here. Mitch Lightfoot gave you energy yesterday. KJ Lawson was good yesterday and gave you double digits. I was talking about it all day yesterday. You cannot have 90% of your offense be generated by three people. The fact that K.J. Lawson gave you double digits, the fact that Mitch Lightfoot gave you, helped you grind out that victory on the road yesterday at TCU. You got to tip your cap. We've talked, everybody has talked about KU's problems on the road and their inability to go into tough environments and leave with the win. This TCU team just 48 hours ago went at Iowa State and won that game. That's a team that's going to make the NCAA tournament. KU very easily could have lost that game yesterday. But you did what you've been unable to do for most of Big 12 play and most of the season. You found a way to go into another team's gym and then leave with the W.
And you walked out, and three guys had double-doubles in that game. And Dotson was one of them with 25 and 10. He also had five assists and a couple of steals. To me, he was the guy that, in my opinion, was he was the star of the game yesterday. He to me, like, in my opinion, his star was born in Dotson. I thought he was a little bit over-aggressive the majority of the year, driving in, and he couldn't convert, and he didn't know when to pull it out and then and set things up. But, boy, like, I can't say enough about that kid. You go a freshman going on the road in the in a game that you absolutely had to win to keep your chances alive to win to keep the Big 12 winning streak alive. And that kid was phenomenal, man. We were talking about where all the points are going to come from, right, with LeGerald Vick out of there. Quentin Grimes can't hit the side of a bucket. You guys can light me up for that because I was all on the Quentin Grimes bandwagon yesterday thinking he was going to have a good game, and he did not, right? 1 of 8 from three-point land. He had plenty of open looks and couldn't hit anything.
It was almost like TCU was leaving him open to miss shots.
It looked like LeBron guarding Ben Simmons in the Lakers 76ers game over the weekend. Let him shoot it. You know, I mean, it was bad for Quentin Grimes. And, you know, I said it's on Grimes to get this thing turned around. Maybe Dotson's the guy. And if Dotson continues to play like he did, then I think KU's got a legitimate shot because he was phenomenal last night.
And now the ball is back in the court of Kansas State. You lost a guy in Jada who might be your sixth man, but a guy who has scored double-digit points in the last four games and was certainly started to turn it around. I don't think you beat KU without Jada. I don't think you win at Baylor on Saturday night without Jada. You're now going on the road in a game you are not favored in at Texas. You need this game. If you lose this game today to KU, you were in the exact same place that your team, Texas Tech, was in last year. You were in the exact same spot that KU was. They were 8-4. Texas Tech was 9-3. You were in the exact same spot as just a season ago. The ball is back in your court, K-State. You were still the favorite to win the league. Maybe not from an outside perspective, but in terms of the scheduling, in terms of home games remaining, K-State is still the best team in this Big 12 in my eyes. I still think they have the most talent in this league. Mm-hmm. But, man, I think you saw yesterday that KU is not going out without a fight. And to hear Fran Fraschilla at the end of it say that the road to the Big 12 still goes through KU, and then see KU go on the road and win a game in TCU, and then see today K-State lose one of its major players, energy guy, come off the bench, play good defense, athletic. To see them lose one of those guys, man, this just has the feel of a movie we've seen for the last 15 years.
And to the Jada injury, and for those that don't know, it's a hand injury that requires surgery, and he's out indefinitely. When did this happen? Nobody seems to know when and where it happened. I mean, this thing seems a little bit fishy to me. Jada looked great in the Baylor game, made a great save, out of bounds, threw the ball back over the Baylor defenders. Barry Brown got a dunk at the other end of the court, and KU iced that game against Baylor. And now all of a sudden, Jada is nowhere to be found in pictures on K-State's social media that they posted from the basketball program. Yesterday, somebody claims they saw him on campus walking around with his hand wrapped, and then he doesn't make the trip to Austin. Something's fishy here. Nobody seems to know how this happened. I mean, am I the only one that thinks that? I mean, truthfully.
I mean, I don't think that, but I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it.
Yeah, nobody does, C-Dot. That's the thing. That's my point. So you got one of your best defenders, your guys coming off the bench. They gave you, what, 25 minutes?
What do you think happened?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, it didn't appear to be injured in the Baylor game. They didn't say it happened in practice. They haven't said anything about how it happened. So I don't know. Typically, when a player suffers some sort of an injury, like Marcus Garrett got hurt in practice, you know, something. We know something about it. There's been nothing. And he didn't make the trip to Austin with the team. I think something's fishy there. Something doesn't sound right to me.
Coming up in 20 minutes, pitchers and catchers are reporting in Surprise, Arizona. We'll talk a little bit of baseball. But first, our guy Jay Binkley will join us in studio to talk a little bit of football. We'll do that with our guy Bink coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get into a little bit of Royals baseball as today pitchers and catchers are reporting. Baseball season is officially here. Someone who I know cannot be more happy and thrilled about the start of baseball season.
How good is that?
Is our guy Jay Binkley. How you doing today,
man? What's going on, guys?
How much, man?
How you doing there, big guy?
Always like baseball starting, you know?
This team was a different team second half of the season. Fun to watch.
September, though, man. Come on now.
They were fun to watch in August and September.
All right. You were the Royals insider. You should know.
I was. Spent a lot of time with the Royals.
It is our guy at Three Guys in a Garage. He is also the host of Bink at Night. Let's start with this because maybe this is mean, just I'm really bad at my job, and I can admit this. I just can't find it in me to get really excited about the linebacker coach for the Kansas City Chiefs or them plucking the D-line coach from the New England Patriots. Twitter seems to go crazy about it. Brad has strong takes about it. Brandon Kiley's like, ooh, I like this guy. I can't tell you any team's defensive line coach in the NFL or their linebacker coach. I just don't have it in me to really feel strongly about this. But something tells me that they hired a guy from the SEC.
I'm very excited about this. You should know Matt House. Matt House ran a defense that shut Missouri to zero first downs in the second half. Sixth in the nation in scoring defense with Matt House.
That happens so often with
what I'm saying is Matt House is such a well-known name around college football as a defensive coordinator. 23rd in the nation in scoring defense. Second in the SEC. But the thing about Matt House is he was getting looks at for D coordinator and head coaching jobs. The fact that he is the linebackers coach for the Kansas City Chiefs ought to show you something. It also show you something because Andy Reid went home and said, let's pay the buyout because it looked like he was going to stay at Kentucky, which shows me the aggressiveness of the Chiefs coaching staff. They see what they want and they go get it. Andy Reid paid it, the $150,000. Matt House is a guy that honestly could succeed Steve Spagnuolo's defensive coordinator.
Can we go back, Bing?
In Kansas City. I'm very excited about this hire.
What did that Kentucky defense do to Missouri? That was in Columbia, that game.
Zero first downs in the second half.
Who won that game?
Kentucky.
That's right.
Bink, you want me to be excited that they really wanted this guy and that the billion-dollar company spent $150,000
It's not much. And there's no salary cap on coaches. Only said that you pay you want.
I'm not saying that he's not going to be a good coach here.
Well, the bottom line is, what was Kentucky thinking, saying we can't let you out of this?
No, that's ridiculous.
Because they reported, Kentucky reports that he turned down the Chiefs and he wants to stay. That's not what happened at all. He had this buyout, and then the Chiefs came back at him and said, well, it's not like the guy's going to Tennessee or Vanderbilt. Yeah. He's jumping to the NFL.
Here's the deal, too, with this guy that I think, and maybe CDOT, this will get you excited about Tom House. I mean, he's the guy that developed
Matt House.
I keep thinking of Tom House, the pitching coach at USC.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy developed Aaron Donald at Pittsburgh. Who was a three-star recruit. He only had offers from like Toledo, Akron, Rutgers, and Pitt. Nobody wanted him. Now the guy's got 6 years and $135 million and a couple of defensive player of the years. And the other guy, Bink, who I'm sure you know all about, is Josh Allen, the edge rusher.
Look at him going number two in the draft.
Exactly, to the 49ers. So, and this guy was nobody wanted this dude either. He was unranked nationally when he came out of high school. He was like the 29th best player in the state of Kentucky. And now this dude is going to be the second overall pick potentially in the draft. What do you think a guy like Matt House can do with Tano Passanio and Breland Speaks? I'm excited about this.
I'm very excited about it. As far as Daly, this guy's coming from the Patriots. There's three Super Bowl rings he has from the New England Patriots. I'm all about that. I thought the Patriots would put up more of a fight than Kentucky
that
did.
That kind of scares me, though.
Well, it's a guy that knows the Patriots' way. Guys don't leave the Patriots for lateral jobs, but his wife's from Kansas City. I get it. He wanted to move to Kansas City. I get that. But what I'm saying is the Chiefs are showing aggressiveness. They say, we want to go win, and they're assembling one hell of a staff.
I mean, I think we've seen enough with the Patriots that they would have won those Super Bowls if you were the defensive line coach.
No question.
When it comes to defensive coordinators, I've seen him do it with Romeo. I've seen him do it with Matt Patricia. I've seen him do it with Brian Flores. Like, Belichick's still there. So I'm just saying
he was employed by him and kept being employed by him. So, I mean, it's a good move. This has been Andy Reid has taken this defense seriously with some of the guys that he's going out and getting. We should all be excited about what the Chiefs are doing with this defensive staff.
If you had to give their staff a grade right now, I think it's a little bit incomplete. If you had to give them a grade so far, what would you give them?
Well, Dave Merritt here is the secondary coach. A B at this point. I don't see how you can go B to B plus.
What would you give it last year, the defensive staff?
C.
Okay, so at least they're getting better. I like that.
It may be an A minus. I mean, yeah. I really like this Matt House.
Well, here's the thing, too, when it comes to the assistant coaches, and this is something I talked to Mazen Barber about a bunch. It ain't Bob Sutton's job to coach fundamentals and technique and all that stuff. That's for the position coaches. And so if you bring in better position coaches that coach better technique and can get these guys to evolve and develop, then I'm fine with it.
And they needed some red asses. Let's face it. This defense didn't have them. The offense has them. Eric Bieniemy is a red ass.
Yeah.
The defense did not have any in-your-face type of guys. They just didn't. Now they do.
Right now we're talking to our guy Jay Binkley at Three Guys in a Garage on Twitter. Listen to his show coming up after us. It is called Bink at Night. Where do you think Antonio Brown ends up today? I'm pretty sure you saw the video now at this point. Yep. Antonio Brown has officially asked for a trade. Where do you think AB ends up?
Well, the 49ers definitely have the cap room to do it. That's always been long linked, and they need another quality receiver for Jimmy G. I'd put a dark horse of the Indianapolis Colts.
They got a bunch of cap room.
They have ample cap room. They're going to have a 7-8 picks and then what, 4 compensatory picks, so about 11 picks where they can move up and down in the draft. And they want to pair with T.Y. Hilton. I think T.Y. Hilton, I think, was childhood friends with Antonio Brown. So there's a connection with them. So I'd say the Colts are in that mix, and I think the 49ers. And I wouldn't discount the Oakland Raiders.
If I'm the Colts, that's probably where I'm looking at. What about Miami? Like I'm kind of trying to think of like different teams, because if you're Miami, let's say you go get Kyler Murray. Let's say you really want Kyler Murray, and then you trade for Antonio Brown. You can go from being a non-playoff team to one of the most exciting teams in the NFL very quickly if you do that. What do you think about a destination like the Dolphins?
The Dolphins would be one. I could see that. I would want to go to more of a contender at this point. He's been in the league 9 years. It's about winning a ring. How far is someone going to a ring? And who's your quarterback? You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe in Jimmy G. I don't know if you believe in Jimmy G. I'm sure a lot of these people do. But going and playing for Andrew Luck in Indianapolis on a team that's on the cusp is very attractive to me if I'm Antonio Brown. But if I'm the Steelers, I don't know if I'm making that deal. I'd rather see him in the NFC.
I mean, you got a hell of a tight end in San Francisco, right, with the Kittle guy. You got a good running game.
Pierre Garçon. I mean, they don't have anything for wide receivers.
No.
Dante Pettis. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at it was the Niners are the favorite. Steelers are second. The field is actually third, plus 400 for the field. Jets are fourth, and Raiders are fifth. I can see the Raiders getting in it, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could see the Raiders doing a little bit weird that they got rid of Amari Cooper last year and they go this. But they are building for Vegas. But Antonio Brown's going to be, he's 30 years old right now. So you're at that point where skills do start to diminish. I don't care how good you are.
Let's put Antonio Brown in Vegas. That'd go well. I mean, because he has issues just about everywhere he goes. I mean, he got dinged today for driving.
At Central Michigan, he didn't.
Well, no, he did at Central Michigan. But in Miami, he's throwing furniture off balconies, almost hitting people.
Yeah, but driving 100. Do that?
Well, I don't. And I don't think you do either, Binkley. And then he got dinged today for driving 100 miles an hour with his Porsche. That thing finally happened.
We've all done that.
No, we have. You got a Porsche?
No, but we've driven 100 miles an hour.
Well, yeah, but it's different.
You've driven 100 miles an hour?
Yeah, I've driven.
Then why are you judging?
Well, because I've done it on the NASCAR track and the Richard Petty thing.
You've never done it on the highway?
No.
Come on.
I don't think so.
Come on, you're judging.
Maybe when
we've
I was
all
in college,
done it.
Maybe.
Come on.
I don't know.
I've done it before, so I ain't going to sit here and lie to you in that regard. I didn't do it in a Porsche, though. I did in a 19 GMC Jimmy.
Rental car, a Chrysler 300M, an I-70 in the Flint Hills of Kansas. We all do it, man.
I was in college, and I was trying to see how fast I could get from Joplin to Springfield. So I was like, I'm about to zoom through this thing.
Don't judge.
I want to get you out of here with this. Kyler Murray, the over-under set for him in draft position is 9.5. Do you think he goes in the top 10?
I do, and I'm interested to see what the Cardinals do with their situation with Rosen. How attached
they're
him?
They're not taking Kyler Murray.
I don't know. Cliff Kingsbury freaking loves Kyler Murray. I don't know. I'm just saying there could be some moving and shaking. I think he's a top 10 quarterback, and he's going to have leverage too because he's only got that baseball thing, you know, hanging around. Hey, I'll just go play baseball. Is he trying to get more money from the Oakland A's? What's his alternative goal? But he's got that leverage because he's still got baseball. You know, as the fallback, where he can kind of choose which team he goes to, kind of a signability issue. Very interesting. Very interesting prospect is Kyler Murray.
I don't buy into the Kyler Murray being a great quarterback in the NFL. I mean, what's he, 5'9 on a good day? You know, and
5'10 on a bad day.
Okay, well, I mean, we talk about speed, and that seems to be one of his biggest tools, correct? Well, everybody looks fast in college. Dexter McCluster looked like nobody could catch him in college. Then he came to the NFL.
Except he can throw.
Oh, fair enough. DeAnthony Thomas looked like nobody could catch him in college. Comes to the NFL, guess what? Everybody can catch him. The exception to the rule is Tyreek Hill. I'm not buying that a 5'9" guy, no matter how fast he is.
League's changing. League's changing to quarterbacks like that.
I'm a short guy. I root for short guys. I don't see how you can be a quarterback in the NFL and be that guy's height.
How'd Flutie do?
He was okay. Did he get you to a Super Bowl? Did he get you over the top?
Baker Mayfield is exactly a skyscraper.
If you're going to draft a guy that high, you draft a guy that you think can get you to a Super Bowl.
Saying the league's changing. league changing and have the, what we do on offensive philosophies, where a guy like Kyler Murray would fit more in the NFL in 2019 than 2012.
It seems obvious to me that a team told him, we're going to take you high yesterday. I think that he got a promise. I think he got a guarantee, and that's why he did that. To me, you always had the leverage.
Always can go play baseball.
I think you had to release that statement yesterday because a team told you. The Dolphins told you. The Cardinals told you.
Yep.
And then you got to put two and two together. He hired the same agent who also has Kingsbury in Arizona. I think he got told.
That's the Kingsbury connection right there in Kingsbury. How silly was it they had him on Radio Row, Gatorade sponsored.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And he did all these interviews. Yeah. And the number one question is, you playing football already? He wouldn't answer it. He went on with Dan Patrick. It's the most bizarre, awkward interview I've ever seen.
It was weird.
If I'm Jacksonville, I call about Josh Rosen.
I would, too. They're still high on Nick Foles. I mean, this deal could still get done with Nick Foles in Jacksonville. But, yeah, I'm Jacksonville. I'm going Kyler Murray.
That is our guy, Jay Binkley, at Three Guys in a Garage on Twitter. What do you got up tonight, man?
Matt Jones, the Kentucky guy from Kentucky Sports Radio that kind of broke this whole deal with Matt House staying, then going. I want to know what's really going on, how bad Kentucky wanted him. I want to know that story. And Wyatt Thompson joins me and talk a little cat as well.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll start to get you ready for baseball season as pitchers and catchers report today. Talking baseball coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. Very happy that Brandon has finally attached a restaurant and a company next to our gift cards. I remember a couple days ago, it was $25 to I don't know, we'll figure it out. So very happy that we have now figured that out. And we'll all take a minute, and we'll also learn more about our producer in Brandon Kiley's Random Facts. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But today is one of Fanning's favorite days of the year. It is the day that pitchers and catchers report to Arizona. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I can't wait till a guy goes 7-for-12, and then Fanning's telling us he's somebody that we can watch in spring training. And then when the guy is hitting 212 during the regular season, like, I saw him down in Arizona. I'm telling you, kid's good. I can't wait till we get to that part. But we're not there yet.
We're not.
They haven't started playing games yet. Well,
everybody's showing up, though, today, C-Dot.
One of your favorite people in the world, Dayton Moore, had a conversation with Vahe Gregorian. He said, quote, Major League Baseball players are paid to win baseball games. Maybe the most profound sentence I've ever heard in my entire life. We're going to expect this team to play well and win a lot of baseball games so that hopefully in July there's pressure on us as a front office to really improve the team for the final 2 months of the season. Quote, a lot of people say the Royals aren't ready to take this step, but we're not going to put limitations on this team. David Glass says it all the time. Expectations drive results. Our expectations are to win our division.
I love it. That's exactly what I want him to say. I mean, do we really think that they're going to win the division? Probably not, but the last thing you want to do is put a cap on your baseball team as the season gets ready to start. I mean, what if Andy Reid came in when he took over and said, hey, our goal is to win 7 games? He'd be like, what are you talking about? I mean, yeah, this is exactly what I want the front office to say. And I want the players to have that mindset, especially the young guys. I don't care that you know that you've got some development to do, Ryan O'Hearn. I don't care, Hunter Dozier, if we're trying to figure out if you're going to be the guy at third base. Jorge Soler, I know you've had injury problems, but our job is to win baseball games, and we expect to win the division. It's exactly what I want him to say.
I wish we could talk to Dayton Moore about this because this would be my question. And you remember, he said this to us. He said that he thought this year was going to be the lean year, that in 2018, he believed they were going to be competitive. They were not competitive last year, and he thought that 2019 was going to be the lean year. I would be very curious to know what's changed because it was, 6 months ago, you told us that you believe this year's team was going to be bad. Now we're having conversations about winning the division. I got absolutely no problem with it. If people on the text line are saying, what should you say? That's perfectly fine. This is my question. Should we hold the Royals to that standard? Because if you want to say, hey, we expect to be competing, we want to be a team that's adding talent in July and all that kind of stuff, what if they don't? Like, you think their ceiling is 81 wins. I don't think their ceiling is 81 wins. I would say if this team wins 70 games, I'll be on here saying that was a good year. They took a step forward if they're the Royals. 70 wins ain't getting you nowhere close to the division. 70 wins probably has you being a seller at the trade deadline. 70 wins is a team that we are going to be fully diving into football season once July happens because they're not playing in any meaningful games. What happens if they're wrong? Because I don't think we're going to hold the Royals to that standard because nobody believes that about this team. You don't believe it. Brandon doesn't believe it. The 5 people listening don't believe it. I don't believe it. The Royals have a 0% chance of winning the division that I've always taken Dayton Moore to be an incredibly honest individual. I'm not saying you got to come out here and say that your goal is to win 70 games, but just say, you know what? We know last year was a tough year for us. We're focused on getting better, and we're going to try to be a more competitive baseball team this year. It doesn't put a cap on it, but now you've put win the division. That's our – what? Come on. Dayton is way too smart to think that this team has a chance to win the division.
Well, two things. All right, what happened when Magic Johnson went in there, and you're an NBA guy, went into the Lakers and flipped out and started calling out Luke Walton, calling out his team, and calling out his players because nobody thought the Lakers were going to do anything this year, right? It's a rebuilding year. LeBron's coming in there. They don't have the roster. They don't have this. They don't have that. All of a sudden, they started winning games because Magic Johnson went in there and changed the expectation. And I get it. It's the NBA. It's not Major League Baseball.
And, I mean, if the playoffs started today, the Lakers would miss the playoffs.
Okay.
I do want to point that
but
out.
But the season's not over yet either.
No, it's not over.
We're not even to the All-Star break yet.
So yeah, we are, but I got what you're saying.
Yeah, so that changed, though. That flipped the expectations for the L.A. Lakers. They started winning a lot more games than they were earlier in the season.
But the Lakers have LeBron James on their team.
I understand that, but they
do the Warriors
have
LeBron James on their team?
No, maybe. In Adalberto Modesty, maybe. Maybe.
You think Adalberto Modesty can be LeBron James?
I think he can be a huge star in this league, absolutely. I said that last year, and everybody laughed at me. And now the comparisons to Francisco Lindor are actually coming out. But here's the thing, too, though. Who signs Dayton Moore's checks?
David Glass.
David Glass does. So I'm going to read you this quote again. This is from Dayton, in Vahe Gregorian's column at the Kansas City Star. A lot of people say the Royals aren't ready to take the next step, but we're not going to put limitations on this team. David Glass says it all the time. Expectations drive results. Our expectations are to win our division. That sounds like, to me, the expectations got changed from the top down. That sounds like, to me, that David Glass told Dayton Moore, our expectation is to win a ton of baseball games and do our best to win the division. And that's the message that I want you putting out there. Now, in Dayton's heart of hearts, does he think this team's going to win the division? Probably not. But you know what? His boss told him so. So Dayton's going out there and doing what his boss is telling him. That's the message we want put out there.
So my question to David Glass would be, and I know for sure he ain't coming on this show again. My question would be is, what are you doing to make that happen? Because we agree, for the most part, it comes into investing on the on-the-field product. What was their best free agent acquisition this year? Of a team that won 58 games last year, what was their best free agent acquisition?
Brad Boxberger, Billy Hamilton, maybe?
I would say from ownership, that's not a team that believes they can win the division.
But I'll tell you the difference, though. Here's the difference in what the Royals did this year and what they did the last two, especially last year. They got, and Dayton even talked about this with us at FanFest. They got sucked into this long ball thing. You know, they got Lucas Duda. They were trying to get guys to drive the ball out of the ballpark, and it didn't work. They got away from who they are. They went back to that in this offseason. They went back to speed. Brett Phillips is a fast guy. Whit Merrifield's a fast guy. Mondesi's fast. Terrence Gore's fast. Billy Hamilton's fast. They're going back to putting the ball in play and playing great defense, which is what got them to the two World Series. Now they had the back end of the bullpen, too, which they haven't built that back up yet, for sure.
I mean, they had an all-time bullpen.
They had an all-time bullpen. But speed, athleticism, defense, bullpen, those are the things that they built around. And that's what they're doing again right now. I'm not saying this team's going to win the division. I don't think they're going to win this division. I really don't. But I like the fact that the owner and the GM are coming out and saying they are. That gets me a little bit fired up, that they've changed the expectation for this team. Rebuild, we're not talking about rebuild anymore. We're not talking about any of this stuff. It's not going to be okay if you put back-to-back 0-for-4s up and you go out there because we're not supposed to win any games. The expectation is to go out there and win. And we expect to compete for the division. Now, is it going to happen? I kind of doubt it. I think they're at least a year away. But I like the expectation. I like the fact that they're going out there and saying it.
I do wonder this. And I guess I don't want anyone to think that I'm negative on the Royals. Like, I think a tremendous step forward for them would be winning 15 more games. Every team in baseball right now would press the button to win 15 more games than they won last year. If they win 15 more games, that's 73 wins. Mm-hmm. I would say that's a really good season for the Royals. Dayton just always strikes me as somebody that when you ask him a question, honestly, he's going to shoot you an honest answer. And I just refuse to believe if he looks at this roster, looks at their rotation, looks at their bullpen, and thinks that this team has a chance to win 85 or more games to give them a chance to win the division. So that's where I'm at when it comes with the Royals. I do want to ask you this because I'm not going to lie to you. You're kind of falling for it too. This was a story from ESPN. Quote, we're digging deep here, but do you guys remember Kyle Zimmer? He was the fifth overall pick back in the 2012 draft, and he just couldn't stay healthy and never reached the majors. The Royals designated him for assignment last spring, re-signed him to a minor league deal, and sent him to the Driveline baseball facility outside of Seattle. He spent the entire season there, returned to the Royals, throwing 94 to 97 miles per hour, and is now back on the 40-man roster. ESPN, they're doing like their preview for each individual team, and they have Kyle Zimmer as the story to watch in Royals camp. We're not doing this, are we, with Kyle Zimmer? I'm not doing this.
Well, I mean, I'm curious, put it that way. I don't think it's the biggest story coming out of Royals camp. I don't think that's the biggest story. At spring training this year, I want to see some of these young pitchers. I want to see Singer. I want to see Cole. I want to see those guys and see what they do, the pitchers that they drafted last year. I don't think Zimmer is the biggest story. But Driveline has resurrected some pitchers, Trevor Bauer being one of them from the Cleveland Indians. And so I am curious to see if Zimmer, what he's got. You know, if they built up the core strength, they changed the mechanics, did whatever they do up there at Driveline, they're supposed to be wizards up there with pitchers that are fighting injuries. I am curious. Is it the number one story? Not in my opinion. But if you're telling me that they could get Kyle Zimmer to put him in a bullpen, because the Royals, one thing the Royals have been really, really good at over the course of Dayton's tenure is building a bullpen and turning guys that were starters into really, really good relievers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luke Hochaver is an example. Wade Davis.
I mean, they've done it time and time again.
They've done it a bunch of times. And if they can do that with a guy like Kyle Zimmer, where he can come in every other day, give you an inning, two innings, and turn him into something and at least get some value out of that draft pick, yeah. I don't think that seems too crazy. But again, it all starts with him, you know, staying healthy. You know, and I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, but I am curious to see if going up to Driveline Baseball in Seattle, where a lot of these guys have gone to resurrect their careers, helps him.
You know how when we talk about football players and you say, I don't believe it, I got to see it?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Kyle Zimmer. That's how I feel about Bubba Starling.
Yeah.
Until I see them on the Royals Major League roster and productive, I will always bet against them. There was a time I was very optimistic about Kyle Zimmer. Yeah. There was a time I was optimistic about Bubba Starling. If you're going to tell me he was the fifth overall pick in 2012 and it's 2019 – then, bro, that ship has kind of sailed for me. With Bubba Starling, when I'm looking at what the other guys in his draft class have done and I'm seeing how far Bubba Starling is behind the rest of them,
Yeah. Don't
talk to me about his athleticism and that stuff. The odds-on favorite is that Bubba Starling is never a contributor for the Royals.
Yeah,
the odds-on favorite is that Kyle Zimmer is never a contributor for the Royals. And then I would say in 3 weeks he gets hurt again, yeah, then we stop having this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the Bubba Starling and Kyle Zimmer thing are completely different, in my opinion. Bubba Starling got $7.5 million. He wanted to play football, couldn't turn down the money. Bubba Starling hadn't done a thing and hadn't played winter ball. He went down there, he got one at bat in winter ball, and came home. Kyle Zimmer went up and spent a lot of time at Driveline Baseball up in Seattle to try to resurrect his career. Bubba Starling hasn't worked at his craft in the offseason. That's not what he does. So I think that's the difference between Zimmer and Bubba Starling. You won't see Bubba in the big leagues ever.
I mean, I'm pulling for Kyle Zimmer. At this point, he's just Sam Bradford at this point. Like, I mean, Sam Bradford, I've seen him play in the NFL. Like, Kyle Zimmer, he's kind of like the abominable snowman. I'm not sure if he exists. I've heard about him before. He's like Bigfoot. I've heard about him.
Yeah.
I just never seen Kyle Zimmer before, and I've even talked to the man. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we'll give you a gift card to Twin Peaks if you win the pop quiz. We'll learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, and then we'll get to the – give us a minute. We'll do all that coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll get to our producer, Brandon Kiley's Random Facts. We continue to learn more about our producer, and we'll give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks in today's a pop quiz, which is brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get back into KU as Ochai Agbaji. I think he's the second biggest story in Kansas City. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the biggest story in Kansas City until he just decides I'm not playing football anymore, which we think will be like in like 2040. But Ochai Agbaji right now is the biggest story in Kansas City. We'll talk about him. And last night had you on the edge of the seat, your seat watching a KU game. We'll talk about that coming up at 3 o'clock. But first, BK, give me a minute. Well, 19 years ago today was one of the days that I can remember exactly where I was. I was a young kid out there. I was 11 years old. You know what I was watching? Probably the same thing that many of you were watching. Vince Carter decided that I was going to do the dunk contest. And one thing that I like about the Major League Baseball is every great power hitter eventually does the home run derby. Like, there is no great hitter that doesn't do the home run derby. It is a sense of pride to me to do the home run derby. That's not how the NBA dunk contest is, at least not anymore. Great players skip the dunk contest all the time. So for Vince Carter to say, I want to do it, was a big deal. You guys remember Vince Carter put on a show that people still talk about today. And then I was thinking this today as I was rewatching the highlights. I think Zion Williamson is going to be that for this generation. Like, I remember being 11, 12 and just seeing Vince Carter jump and do some of the things and thinking he's the most athletic person I've ever seen. And then you watch Zion Williamson night in, night out, do some incredible things offensively and defensively. And, man, I can't wait till next season when Zion Williamson says, I'm doing the dunk contest. For the 20-year anniversary of the dunk contest with Vince Carter, Zion Williamson's going to do it next year. Oh, I can't wait. They got a big game today against Louisville. That is my minute for the day.
BK, can I get a minute, please? I'm going to put this out there. This is from Andrew McCutchen on social media. Something happened to him, and it's happened to everybody, I'm sure.
So I get on an elevator. Dude gets off an elevator, walks past me, and he goes, "There you go, brother." And the whole time I'm thinking, why would you say that to me? You don't even know me. The door closes. I get punched in the face by a fart. My goodness, why would you do that? Like, right, left, combo, uppercut, finish him. My goodness, bro. Like, don't do that, man. That's just disrespectful.
It is disrespectful. Andrew McCutchen got crop dusted at an elevator, people. You should know better than this. You can do it in a bar. You can maybe even get away with it on a flight because you don't know where it came from. But in an elevator, that's just poor elevator etiquette, man. You can't crop dust somebody in there. And then smack talk about it on your way out. Classless move by whoever did that to our guy, Andrew McCutchen, C-Dot. You got nothing on crop dust in an elevator.
I got absolutely no take on to whoever farted in Brandon McCutchen's elevator.
Andrew McCutchen, excuse me.
I got no take.
For my minute today, I would like to go ahead and give this to the Jets. I want to talk about the Jets today because Adam Gase has officially put together most of his coaching staff at this point. Started by adding Greg Williams as his defensive coordinator. And if you don't know who Greg Williams is, he claimed this last year as the interim Browns coach.
And, you know, since I left Buffalo, I've had 11 letters sent in to interview for head coaching jobs. And all of them behind the scenes I have. And four of them I didn't even have to show up. Just signed a contract and come.
But just Greg Williams and Adam Gase would not have been combustible enough. It doesn't stop there. Instead, Williams wanted to hire his son, Blake, who has never worked in any capacity in the NFL other than with his father. Gase immediately said no, but Williams went nuts behind the scenes, so Gase went ahead and gave in. So the father and son are reconnected. Story over, right? No. There's another straw that has to be stirred in this drink. The final coach needed for the trifecta was Joe Vitt. You may remember him for the interim coach with the Saints after Bountygate. Greg Williams remembers him as the guy who threw him under the bus for Bounty Gates to become the interim head coach for the Saints. Adam Gase actually calls him father. He's his father-in-law. Mm. The team has it all. All they're missing now is Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and we can get the Jets on Hard Knocks, and everybody can enjoy training camp with the Jets.
They got to be on Hard Knocks, right? I mean, you've got to put the Jets on Hard Knocks.
I don't know that they're going to be the team that they ask because there's still like five teams left that can't say no if they ask them, and most teams want to say no to doing so, but they would be one of my first picks.
Brandon, I just want you to clarify one thing. You went over on your minute today for a deep dive into the staff of the New York Jets. That's what happened today on the show?
Time out. My start was a little abrupted because of you, because you didn't have anything to come back with Fanning.
Yeah, you got nothing on there, man. You caught him off guard on farting in elevators.
And yesterday you had a four-minute minute.
I actually maybe have more to talk about on the farting on elevators than I have about the Jets staff. Like, I got really nothing on the Jets staff.
That's a great story.
Like, absolutely nothing on the Jets
staff. Hey, BK, you hooked me. I thought that was a good minute, man. I didn't realize the Joe Vitt connection, and I didn't.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mess. It's going to be drama. It's like the
Some
Kardashians.
Some of our audience might have learned something there, C-Dot.
I did not know that, and I appreciate you giving us that information.
It's your minute, so I'm not going to fault it. And then it's almost like you get your own give us a minute for Brandon Kiley's Random Facts.
Oh, we get to do this today at the time that it's scheduled, too. That's great.
Random Facts. No, I took a long time yesterday with the AAF.
It was a good one, though.
You want to know how I know the AAF is so bad? People were excited about Jamarcus Russell yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this. There was a fake Bleacher Report story going around about him signing to Memphis to replace Christian Hackenberg. And people were legitimately excited in 2019 to watch Jamarcus Russell play football. That's how I'm telling you. I continue to believe that you guys are joking about the AAF. I refuse to believe that any of you find it enjoyable.
I want to see Jared Lorenzen in the AAF.
That'd be good, too. I see that earlier this morning. If anybody thinks it's a bit, he texted me and Fanning just with the total yards graphic from the AAF. Yeah,
four of them had less than 300 total yards. You guys love that football.
I'm telling you, man, I think it's March 16th. Orlando Apollo's taking on San Antonio, I believe.
All right, let's get to these random facts. First one for you guys. I will watch any movie that Mark Ruffalo stars in. Shutter Island, Spotlight, Begin Again, The Kids Are All Right, Now You See Me. I'm a big-time Mark Ruffalo fan. For no real reason. I just like him as an actor. I enjoy the movies.
Yeah.
Hulk, one of the originals.
I feel like Now You See Me is very underrated. I really enjoy both of those movies.
Number two for you guys. I went to my first music festival last year. Have you guys ever been to one?
I went to Canned Roxas. That's the only one I've been to.
That doesn't really count.
I don't know if I have or not. I don't think so.
I went to one in Gulf Shores. It's called Hangout Fest. Highly recommend it. If you're going to go to a music festival, I haven't been to the other one, so I can't claim to know anything about them. But from what I've heard, it's super hot. It's like sweaty as hell. You're living out in a campsite.
This sounds awful.
Yeah, that sounds terrible to me. Hangout Fest is a little different. It's in Gulf Shores. It's right on the beach. So the actual stages are all kind of right by each other, and they're right on the beach.
Oh, okay.
And you just stay at a beach house during the week, and you go over there afterwards.
You got me. I'm hooked.
I do plan on going to Coachella before I'm too old to go to Coachella.
You've got like 10 years.
Nah, I've got like 3. I'm definitely not trying to be 37 at Coachella.
Fair enough.
Why not? You ought to go, man. Who cares? Seriously.
I don't think you know the kind of people that attend these music festivals.
No,
you know
but
what I mean?
I'm just like, who cares? Like, be you, man.
I just don't want to be the old guy in the club. You know what I mean?
Like, you'll get to a point where you just don't care.
My final.
But you agree there's some places that you're like, I'm too old for this thing.
I would rather somebody show up and go to something than try to, you know, you got like a 52-year-old mom who's dressing like she's 16. You know,
that's what Coachella. That's how I would look at Coachella if I went to Coachella at 37.
I think you could pull it off.
There's also a lot of stuff going on at Coachella.
A lot of stuff happening at Coachella.
Final random fact for you guys. My guilty pleasure television show, I think we all have one. I've watched every season of Big Brother since season 13, and we're getting ready to start season 21 of Big Brother. My guilty pleasure.
Like, what's the number of seasons before you just bail on a TV show?
It still rates really well. People are watching all of
it. Even the ones that are my favorites, I could give it 3, maybe 4 seasons, and then I'm on to something else. Like, I can't do, like, the 10-season thing.
I mean, it's
like
a reality show, like, so it's different every year. But like, it's the same show.
I bailed on Walking Dead last season, and now I'm back this season. I'm trying to get caught up. I was just worn out. I was done.
My guilty pleasure would be MTV dating shows. If they put it that on MTV, sense. I'll watch it, bro. Real World.
Remember Next?
I still watch Next and Room Raiders on YouTube. So, yeah. You can see my DVR right now. Cheaters. I have like 30 episodes of Cheaters. Like, I will watch that stuff until I'm dead. I don't
Next
care.
Next was a legitimately good show. I don't care
Next,
what anybody
Next
says.
Next was hilarious. I love Next. What's your guilty pleasure?
Anything on AMC. I'll watch anything on AMC, truthfully. Like Walking Dead, I've been into that for years. I'm away from that
now. It's not a guilty pleasure, though. Those are just
Yeah, I know,
shows.
But I don't really, okay, here's the deal.
Like, I watch Food Network.
I watch HGTV a little bit. My wife, she has like enough guilty pleasures for both of us. Like, I think she's figured out a way to kill me like 18 different times on that Discovery investigative thing. Like, she's always watching that. She watches the Kardashians, My 600-Pound Life. Like, she has so many guilty pleasure TV shows that they gross me out, so I don't really have one. I'm being serious. Like, I can't. I used to watch The Bachelor when it first came out. I was kind of addicted to that one.
That would
count. I'm over that. Yeah, but I don't watch that anymore.
Bob quiz.
Stand by, going to air. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Do the Royals count?
Starting with this program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The 2018 Royals would absolutely yeah,
then
count.
Then that's my guilty pleasure.
I don't know
absolutely.
If the 2014 or 2015 Royals would count, but you were excited to watch a team win 58 games last year. No, would count.
Hustle home, get ready for first pitch every night.
When do you think you'll say they would have won that series if they were better? Because that take is coming.
Probably the second series of the season.
No, that take is absolutely coming. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll start talking about KU again, but your chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. A great place to take your Valentine to. You know, if you want to take your lady out to eat, go ahead and take her to Twin Peaks. We're gonna give you $25 to do so. Pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's pop quiz is a movie that is the first movie on my Netflix queue. Oddly enough, go ahead and play it.
We're not friends anymore, Jenna.
Maddie, you're my best friend.
No. Okay, it's cool.
It's warm in here.
It's maybe I should open a window.
I think I need some fresh air.
Fresh air.
A glass of water and a fluffy
pillow. You want a glass
pillow,
of water?
Please?
Have a seat. I'll get you some. You want a glass of water? Do you want ice in that?
I want a pillow.
A pillow coming right up.
That movie is not on my Netflix queue. I had that movie mixed up with 40 Days and 40 Nights, which I don't know how I mixed those two
40 Days and 40 Nights is really good.
I've never seen it before. Yeah. That's the next movie I have on my Netflix queue. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get back to Kansas and Kansas State. But go ahead, be calling number 6-913-576-7610. And the prize is yours. Talking KU Hoops coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Starting pay.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.